Welcome to DeedNB College. Today we're building a low-end pressure approach using a chopped vinyl texture in Ableton Live 12. This is that dusty, moving, slightly unstable layer that sits around your bass and drums and makes the whole groove feel older, meaner, and more physical. And just to be clear, this is not your main bassline. This is the texture that gives the drop attitude. It's the grit that makes a roller feel like it's pushing forward. It's the chopped ambience that makes a jungle section feel like it came off a battered dub plate. Used properly, it adds pressure without stealing the sub's job. Why this matters in DNB is simple. A lot of the power in old-school jungle and raw drum and bass comes from movement in the noise floor. Tiny vinyl chops, filtered fragments, short tails, little bits of dust and instability. That kind of detail makes the track feel alive. But technically, it can also wreck your low end fast if it gets too wide, too bright, or too loud. So the real skill here is making it audible as character, but invisible as clutter. Let's build it. Start with a source that already has some vinyl character. That could be a crackle recording, a dusty ambient sample, a chopped bit of old break material, even a short noisy fragment from a record-style loop. Keep it short. You want 1 to 4 bars of source material, not a full loop that does too much. If you're starting from something clean, don't panic. You can make it dirty in a controlled way. A really solid beginner chain is simpler or sampler for playback, then auto filter, then saturator, then EQ8. The reason this works is because DNB usually needs texture in the mid-range, not more full-range mush. A vinyl-style source already carries age and movement, which helps it sit naturally against breakbeats and sub-weight. What to listen for here is pretty simple. First, does the sample have enough mid-detail to be heard at low volume? Second, does it feel like texture, not just hiss? If it sounds too clean, don't immediately overprocess it. Start with source choice first. The source matters more than the processing. Now trim it into tiny chops instead of leaving it as a loop. Open the clip and slice it into short fragments. Think 1/8, 1/16, even smaller if the material supports it. Keep only the useful bits. Little crackles, short transient hits, reverse tails, tiny dust bursts. A strong beginner move is to duplicate the clip across 1 or 2 bars, then remove most of the audio so only a few moments remain. You're building rhythmic negative space, not a continuous bed. Try placing a chop on the end of 2, or a short burst before beat 4, or a tiny reverse-like swell into the next bar. You can even leave 1 small hit every 2 bars if you want that uneasy, broken feel. Why this works in DNB is because jungle and old-school drum and bass often sound huge when elements arrive in interlocking fragments. A chop texture that leaves gaps gives the kick, snare, and sub room to breathe while still adding motion. What to listen for now? Can you feel a pulse from the chops even when the sound is quiet? And do the chops support the drums, or do they fight the snare accents? Next, shape the tone so it lives in the right band. Add auto filter and pull the frequency down until the texture sits in a useful range. For this style, a good starting point is somewhere between about 2.5 kHz and 8 kHz on a low pass, depending on how bright the sample is. If the source is noisy, go lower. If it's dull, keep more top and tame the harsh parts later. Then use EQ8. High pass around 120 to 250 Hz to clear space for kick and sub. If the sample sounds boxy, dip a bit around 250 to 500 Hz. If it hisses too hard, gently reduce around 6 kHz to 10 kHz. There's a trade-off here. If you high pass too hard, the texture can lose that vinyl weight that makes it feel earthy. If you leave too much low end in, it will clutter the kick and sub. For this lesson, favor clean low end first, then bring back perceived weight with saturation and placement. What to listen for after the filter and EQ is this. Does the texture still feel grounded? And when you engage the filtering, do the snare and sub suddenly get clearer? If yes, you're moving in the right direction. Now add controlled dirt with saturator, not chaos. Place it after the filter and start gently. A beginner-friendly move is around 2 to 6 dB of drive, with soft clip on if needed, and the output trimmed so the level stays similar before and after. The goal is not loudness. The goal is presence. Saturation thickens the midrange and helps those chopped fragments read like one pressure layer instead of a bunch of tiny parts. If it gets crunchy in a bad way, back off. If it disappears in the mix, a little more drive can help it speak without turning it up too much. That's one of the big tricks in DeedNB. The texture has to survive next to fast drums, sub-movement, and often aggressive bass design. Saturation helps the ear track the pattern without demanding more volume. Now let's make the groove intentional. Put the chops where they interact with the beat, not just on top of it. In old school and jungle context, Try placing texture hits just before the snare, after the snare tail, in the gaps between kick and snare, or as a call and response against the break. If your track is rolling, use fewer chops and let them repeat in a restrained pattern. If it's more jungle heavy, you can get more syncopated and chopped. A good arrangement rule is to make the texture follow a two-bar phrase first, then expand it to four bars if it feels too repetitive. At this point, you can choose between two useful approaches. One is sparse pressure chops. That means fewer hits, more silence, and more low-pass filtering. This feels darker, more menacing, and leaves the drums very exposed. The other is busy vinyl churn. That means more frequent slices, a little more top end, and more rhythmic motion. This feels more classic and bustling, but it can crowd the snare if you overdo it. Choose the sparse version if the track already has a dense break or a heavy bassline. Choose the busier version if the section feels too bare and needs movement. If you want a more finished FX feel, try a second stock device chain, Auto Filter, Redux, EQ8, and Utility. Use Auto Filter to lightly animate the cutoff or just keep the texture in a fixed band so it doesn't feel static. Use Redux very subtly to rough up the edges. Don't crush it, a little goes a long way. Then use EQ8 to cut any rumble and painful peaks. Finally, use Utility to narrow the stereo field if the sample feels too wide or facey. This is a big one. Chopped vinyl pressure often feels stronger when it's narrow and centered-ish. Low mid noise that's too wide can blur the mix very quickly. In a club context, centered texture reads more like a physical layer under the beat. Now check it in context with drums and sub before you commit. Loop 4 or 8 bars of your drums and bass together, then bring the chopped texture in. Don't judge it solo for too long. Ask yourself two questions. Does it make the snare feel more threatening or just more crowded? And does the sub stay stable and obvious when the texture plays? If the kick loses its front edge, cut more around 150 to 300 Hz in the texture. If the snare loses snap, reduce the top end fizz or pull the texture down in volume. If the bass feels less clear, the texture is probably too wide, too bright, or too loud. This is also the point where you decide whether the idea belongs in the track. If it's helping the groove but not drawing attention to itself, keep it. If it still sounds like extra sound rather than part of the record, stop and refine the tone or the placement before adding more processing. Now bring it into the arrangement properly. Don't leave the chopped vinyl layer on all the time. Use it like a tension tool. A strong move is to bring it in during the last 4 or 8 bars of the intro, filter it down at the start of the drop, open it a little across the first 8 bars, then pull it out for a cleaner second phrase before bringing it back with a different chop pattern. You can think of it like this. Filter dust in the intro, a restraint pattern in the first drop phrase, a little more movement in the second phrase, then a different variation for the second drop. That gives the section an arc. The chopped vinyl becomes a section marker, not just a texture. At some point, commit to audio. If the chopping, filtering, and saturation are feeling musical, print it. That helps you stop endlessly adjusting and lets you edit the chops like an instrument. Once it's printed, you can reverse a single hit, remove a tiny tail that collides with the snare, duplicate a chop as a fill, or mute a section for an intentional drop in energy. In Ableton, that's a huge workflow win. Audio lets the texture become part of the arrangement instead of just a lev effect. Final mix check. Use Utility to listen in mono if possible. If the chopped vinyl collapses or gets facey, reduce the width, simplify the stereo content, or choose a less stereo-heavy source. The target is simple. The texture should be audible in mono, not swallow the kick transient, not mask the sub, and still be present at low playback levels. A successful result feels like this. When the chopped vinyl comes in, the track gets more dangerous and more alive, but the drums still hit cleanly and the low end still reads as one solid block. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't leave the vinyl texture full range, because the low end will fight the kick and sub. Don't make the chops too busy, because the snare will lose impact. Don't oversaturate it, because you'll flatten the transient detail. Don't go too wide, because the mix gets blurry fast, and don't judge it in solo for too long. In DNB, a texture that sounds amazing alone is often the wrong texture. A couple of pro tips before we wrap. Treat this layer like a support instrument, not an effect. The best chopped vinyl pressure usually lives in a narrow usefulness band. You should notice motion and dirt before you notice a specific sample. If you can clearly identify every chop in isolation, it may be too exposed for the role. Also, print a cleaner version and a dirtier version. Use the cleaner one under the intro, then bring in the nastier one for the second drop. That gives you contrast without redesigning the whole sound later. And if you're unsure whether to keep editing, bounce it and listen away from the session on a small speaker or headphones. If it still reads as vibe there, you're probably onto something. So here's the recap. Start with a source that already has character. Chop it into rhythmic fragments. High pass the low end and keep the mid-range useful. Add saturation gently. Check it with kick, snare, and sub. Use automation to shape the arrangement. Commit to audio when it feels right. The goal is a layer that makes the track feel darker, older, and more dangerous, while the low end stays clean and the groove stays readable.